All
Hola.
right, lady.
Hey.
So it's cold. We've established it's freezing. How cold is it where you are?
Oh, I don't know the exact coldness. Nowhere near as cold as it, let me check. Not as cold as it is where you are. You are wearing an open-necked shirt, and I am wearing a floor-to-ceiling, neck-to-shoe knitted dress with a
Burka.
vest and a pair of thick tights, and my vest is tucked into my tights because otherwise air, cold air comes up.
No.
That's not happening. I'm not having that. So here, okay, I'm looking at the weather forecast. I don't understand it, so I can't give you any
Is
information.
it not in the lower left-hand corner of your computer screen?
You're right. It is not in the
Okay.
lower left-hand corner
Mine
of my.
is. I
Oh no,
have
it's
the.
it, you're right. You're right. You're right. It's 6 degrees and cloudy.
So that's like 42 Fahrenheit. Okay. That's not terrible. That's not
No.
freezing.
No, it's not freezing. It's nippy, is what I would call it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Fresh, brisk. It is
Fresh.
well below freezing. Celsius were minus 22, Fahrenheit were like minus 8, minus 10, something like that.
Something just flickered across the screen. Did you see that?
No, was it a ghost? Was it a
I
spirit?
don't know what it was.
Was it the Chinese?
Something just went flickety flick
Was it
across the.
Facebook? I guess we're all mad at Facebook now. You got to get with the times. You're missing out on all the conspiracies and the drama and the hot goss. But I'll let you know if anything is really worth knowing, as long as you have
Okay.
friends that are in it. And all of my friends are on TikTok because I'm now
Okay.
friends with like people I don't even know, but they're
I was
telling
going to
me.
say, I'm not on TikTok and I'm your friend.
True. True, but like Bethany Frankel, it doesn't matter. Let's not get off topic. Let's get back to business.
Okay.
We're talking about things today.
Okay. Yes. What are we talking about?
Well, we started talking about this process of letting go, and there's all different ways to do it, and you're in the midst of a process with Marie Kondo. Is that
Yes,
how you pronounce her name?
Marie Kondo. I say Marie
Yeah.
Kondo, you say Marie Kondo. It's all
Got
the
it.
same thing. Tomato, tomato.
I like it. So you were sharing with me personally over the weekend some of the epiphanies that you're having. And we said, wouldn't that be an amazing podcast? We both
Yeah.
agreed, and here we are.
And here we are. Absolutely. Yes, I feel I'm possibly slightly obsessed with it now, but I have been, just a little bit of background. I know you know it, but Tracy doesn't.
True, true.
So I'm just gonna do a little bit of background. In June, I started, so June last year, I started sort of, clearing things out, sort of a bit of a spring clean. And I did sort of stuff with paperwork. But what I noticed was this room, this study office, whatever it is, it became cluttered again with bits of paper. Whatever I did didn't really quite work. Then sort of, move along a little. My eldest son has returned from America where he's been studying, and he's moving back into the house, and he's a big adult human male. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I'll just do a little bit of tidying up and
Yeah.
clearing out. Because this, we're increasing the population of the household by 50% because this person's coming back. So we need to do some clearing out. So I started doing that. So it's been in my, tidying up, clearing out things has been in my consciousness, in my mind for a few months, kind of on and off. Then, and it has continued to be. And then on Sunday of last week, for some reason, Marie Kondo popped into my head. And I'd started kind of like looking at my clothes because I've got some new bedroom drawers, and I was like, oh, do I want this thing that I'm, that I've taken from the loft or whatever? Actually, that's a lie that I've got scattered around other people's bedrooms. Anyway, I then found her book, remembered her book. I've never read it, got it on audio and listened to sort of, I think it's a 5.5 hour listen, and I listened to 3 hours straight of this book and was like, oh my goodness, this makes so much sense. Got my clothes down from the loft, and I've just had, it's only been a week. I cannot believe it's been a week. It feels like it's
Crazy.
been a lifetime.
Yeah.
Stop me at any point, because otherwise I'm just going to keep talking. You could go
So
and Hoover. You could go and vacuum the house. You could move the
you
car
want to let me
from
know
the
when you're
garage. Yeah, just do what you need to do, Ali. Just pop back in, check
Oh.
I'm still awake.
Still the
Go. Did you want to ask something,
So
or should I just keep rambling?
I'm happy to ask a question in here. So you it when did you listen to the 3 hours? That was last weekend or the previous weekend?
Last, so not this one, just gone
The
eight
one
days
before
ago.
that. Okay, so you listened to this book and it inspired you to do something.
Yes, for some reason, as I said, I knew about this book, but you know how things, there just seems to be timing with things. Something comes back into your consciousness.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I was like, oh, that book. And I downloaded the book. And what I've found, she is very much of this, some people sort of say, if you buy one thing in, one thing out. So if you buy something, I don't know, a new jacket or whatever, then you have to get rid of a piece of clothing or a jacket. So she goes through all the different ways, some people tidy like this, some people tidy like that. But the thing is, it's not about tidying. This is what I've realized. She says, do all of a thing at once. So she says, start with your clothing, do all of your clothing at once. Every sock, every pair of tights, every jacket, every t-shirt, all of your clothing, get them all in one room. And do that. Then you move on to your paperwork. Then you move on to blah, 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 and on you
Yeah.
go. So you do all of what would it be like, a, I
A
don't know, a topic or an
subject
area?
area. Yeah.
Yes, in one big blob. And that just makes so much sense, because as I've been doing it this week, I've sort of come across, you put earrings in or you do whatever. I've come across things and I'm like, oh, because she talks all the time about things sparking joy. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't spark joy. I'm going to get rid of it. I'm going to, declutter and ditch it. And I've actually stopped myself, because what I have found is this wonderful thing with the process of getting, looking at one area all at once, is that you start to get a feel for what sparks joy and what doesn't, and what's really happening for you. So actually, to do things piecemeal, to sort of just throw away one pair of earrings or re-gift or give to charity
Right.
one pair of earrings, actually is a little bit,
That's transactional.
it's disconnected.
Yes.
What I have found by doing all of my clothing, and I am not fully through the process, but what I found, first of all, Sunday before last, when I got the clothing down from the loft and got clothes out of drawers and out of cupboards and things, I opened one of the bags from the loft and I started crying. And I may well cry now. Because there were things there that had been in that bag for like 10 years that I hadn't looked at. So I just had this flood of sort of opening this bag. And it was as if all these memories kind of fluttered out of the bag. And I was kind of like, oh. And then on the Monday evening, I set aside 4 hours and I sat in here on the floor and I did what she says. She says, and I'm sort of continuing to listen to the book, because that was the Monday after the Sunday when I had
Yeah.
sort of like had this big input, from the book. Listened to a bit more on Monday, sat on the floor here, and she says, hold each item. So I'm doing clothing. I hold the item of clothing. If it sparks joy, keep it. It doesn't matter what it is, it could be of no interest to anybody else, but if it sparks joy for you, keep that item. And she said, there'll be two reasons why you will struggle to get rid of something. One reason will be attachment to the past. And the other reason will be anxiety about the future. And when I heard that in the audiobook, it was sort of, it felt like a, It had a physical impact. You know, like people sort of say it felt like a gut punch, or you know, it felt like a body blow. I felt that when she said it. Now, I understand all of these things. I understand these concepts intellectually. It's our work to be talking to people about, you know, attachment to the past and, you know, fears about the future and all of that. So I know all these things. I understand them, but I did not think that I. This sounds nutty and silly now, but I didn't think that I had attachments to the past. I just didn't realize I had them. And I sat, go, do you want to ask me something?
No. An attachment to the past seems to me that there's like an emotional, psychological, spiritual attachment, not an intellectual one. I think that's where I'm noticing, like, intellectually,
Great.
this, if someone were to listen to this and get really heady about it, they'd be like, why? What's the big damn deal? And you were sitting there like, this thing represents something very heartfelt, emotional, whatever, spiritual, but there's a lot of energy inside of this item for whatever reason.
Thank you for saying that, Ali. Yes, it was very much, it has been and continues to be very much a physical, heartfelt experience, not an intellectual experience. As I said, I understand these concepts intellectually. What happened for me, and I'm very hearty, but I'm a hearty lass, but I'm also very heady, you know, get really into my head. And what happened when I was holding things was stuff just came up for me. And I was weeping. I mean, I weep, but I was seriously crying here on the floor. That sort of crying at times where there's no sound coming out.
Yes, I know this cry. Yep.
You know, where you're kind of,
Like, yeah.
it's so deep that you can't, there's no sound. And it felt cathartic, it felt therapeutic, I mean, this is the thing. I was feeling something. And I was sitting there, and it's making me cry now. I was sitting holding a thing which represented a part of my life, and I was contemplating letting it go, letting that part of my life go. And the irony is, it's already gone because it's the past. But I hadn't kind of quite caught up with that in all the different parts of myself. So I was sitting there with each item that I held, contemplating releasing whatever I had attached to the item, but the item's more symbolic. It wasn't really about the item. It was about letting go of the past. And there was a lot of crying about realizing that it was really difficult for me to let go of my past, really difficult for me to let go of my children being young, and everything that, you know, the incredible purpose that I had then was something I was really aware of. And like I say, you know, they're huge now. They're 22 and 24. They are, you know, adults. And it was just such a fantastic experience to know that there are these two huge adults living in my home, and I am struggling to let go of who they were and what who they were meant for me and made me
Well, and who you were.
and who I was. And it was so funny, like peculiar, not hilarious, but so funny because obviously it's all gone. That has all gone already. And so it was the, like, I don't know if it's the last remnants because I think I'm still in it, but sort of the last vestiges of me actually going, oh yeah, they really are grown up. So I sat clutching a bobble hat and weeping, you know, remembering why I'd bought the hat and where and what had happened and do. And then, you know, a wool jacket that I had worn endlessly when they were younger. And you know, and her criteria for does it spark joy was so interesting because these things sparked lots of things, but not joy. It was so funny. I did not feel
Yeah.
joy when I held.
Felt a
I'd never
lot.
liked, yeah, I felt a lot, but it wasn't joy. I'd never liked the hat. I bought it. Again, the story isn't of any interest, but I bought it because I kind of had to, not because I wanted to. I didn't, it was, so it wasn't actually like, I love this hat and I wore this hat that I'd never liked the hat. It was the other stuff I was releasing as I let go of the hat. I can say more. I can keep going.
Well, so I have some questions in here.
Do
So,
do.
what is it that you were feeling, like the weeping? Can you tell us what is the weeping? What was that? And I'm listening. There's a shade I'm gonna close right in front of my screen. So I'm listening. You're in my ear.
Yeah, that's a good question. What was the actual weeping about? I think some of it was sadness.
Okay.
That beautiful time had passed. I can
Yeah.
still feel it, like
Yeah.
this beautiful, precious thing had passed. And I think part of it also was allowing myself to let go of it. There was some like waving goodbye or something. There was some, I don't know, I can't really explain like what the emotion was, but it was a letting go. It was being prepared to let go. It was a landing of a realization. Obviously, I know they're grown up. They're not
Yeah.
five, they're 24 and 22. So I understand it intellectually, but it was something else was happening, Ellie, that had me sort of, I don't really know what to say, but like saying goodbye. I didn't say any words, but actually really, really letting go. I don't know. So the imagine it was sadness and go.
So one of the things that I'm curious about, I had an experience, and let's see if this helps a little bit. My mother-in-law passed away 2 weekends ago, and I had a very similar experience as you at the funeral. She and I were not close. We didn't spend a lot of time together. I didn't really know her very well. There's a lot of hurt and a lot of sadness that I've always had about that. Mostly, she made it clear that I was not somebody that she likes for her son. So that for somebody like me, like a people pleaser, that's been a very difficult thing to live with. And yet, it wasn't until I was sitting in front of her casket that there was like this sense that it was over. I mean, obviously it was over. It was over, 25 years ago when I married her son. Just like you're saying, it was over. Your kids are not five. And yet there was such a finality to it. Like maybe there was like a just a teensy little piece of hope that we would figure it out. That one day she would be like, oh, actually, Allison really is the right person. But there's it like that's gone. And I don't know what the emotion is other than like a mourning or something about the reality of it, that's so like as you're thinking about when your boys were whatever age they were and you had to buy this hat and that whole experience, and I wonder if like part of the emotion that you're sitting in is like I can't go back. All the things that happened, the way that they happened, that's it. Like there's a part I think of in all of us that sits in wonder and sits in fantasy of like, what if I could go back and change that? And so like we wander into that place, even though it's not possible, it isn't real. We still go like, well, but what if? I wonder if. And by like confronting all that and being like, I don't, this hat, this coat, that's not, I can't wonder what if. I mean, you can, but you're choosing like in that moment to just say, no, I'm actually closing that chapter. The chapter's been closed, but it's almost like you accepting the finality of it as these giant boys walk around your house with all that reality.
That's a strange, in a way, you know, sort of letting go of clothes and then the death of a person. But actually, that is the brilliant words to describe it. It was me accepting and letting the things go. Somehow, I don't know if I thought this, but keeping the clothes that, like, you know, people, I spoke to somebody and they were saying, oh, you know, about this, and they were saying, oh, but you know, if I don't keep the thing, I won't be able to have the memory. I will forget all of the stuff. I will forget, you know, when I see the coat or the hat, you know, whatever the thing happens to be, I'll have the memory of what happened. And without that object, I will never remember. It will just be lost. And what the Marie Kondo is saying is, actually, we have whatever we need whenever we need it. It's
That's right.
available to us.
That's right.
And she says something even more than that. She goes on to say, not only do we have what we need when we need it, if for some reason there is a gap in what we need, what we then have to do, because we don't have the thing that we originally had, we have to take action to procure it, to find it. So actually, we're living very much in the present and then taking action to fill in any gaps. So what I think what I've come to experience, and what I'm understanding as I'm doing this, is that it's okay for me to let go. Whereas before, I was attached to the past, and I also have been holding on to things because of anxiety about the future. What if I need it? What if I get rid of it and I can't find another one like this, or I can't afford another one, or they don't make it, or I can't have it? You know, like fear-based what-ifing. And when she talks about, well, you'll just take action to fill whatever gap you notice in the future, I'm like, oh yeah. How ex yeah, that's really appealing to me, to travel emotionally light and fill gaps as I find them, as I see fit in the future. And also to travel light in terms of knowing that everything I have ever done and everything I've ever experienced is always available to me if needed in the moment, you know, if it serves me to remember it, or it comes up in a conversation, you know. And that has happened, ironically, in the last couple of days. Things that I haven't spoken about for 2 decades have come up, and I've shared them in conversation, and the person was like, no. I'm like, yeah. And you know, we enjoyed that memory together. They weren't there, but you know, we enjoyed sharing something together. So it's just been, and something else I've noticed is one of the things she says in the book is, as you take on this practice of holding each thing in your hand and seeing what they spark, you start to refine your ability to sense joy. You start
Building that
to
muscle.
refine it. Yes, you start to build the muscle and you start to refine and hone that skill. And
I
so
love
what I
that.
have found was, you know, some things were an absolute, you know, I wept over them, but I realized they weren't, it, this wasn't a, an item that sparked joy and I couldn't wait to put it on my body. It was something else. And I was like, yeah, I can let that go.
Were there any
Other
surprises of
item.
things that did spark joy?
Well, actually, there's been one particular item that actually has become my benchmark for joy sparking, which is a pair of trousers, which are,
Can you show
I've
us?
never, no, they're upstairs. But it's
Man.
actually, the interesting thing is, it's not really about the item.
Yeah,
It
good
happens to
point.
be
All
a pair
right.
of checked trousers with pink lining inside the
know I want
pockets,
to see
which
them because you told me about them, and
I'll
now I
show
want
them
to
to
see
you another
them.
day. But the point is, it really isn't about the item. It's about what happens inside when you hold this object, whatever it is. And what I noticed was, oh, so I you know, sort of the pile wittered down, and I put things into bags, and I was still left with this pile. And then I went away, and then the next day I came back and looked at the pile, and I was like, oh, I'm keeping this because of. And she says you can have a combination of attachment to the past and anxiety about the future. Kind of, they can kind of do that.
Yes.
They can sort of blend. So there's sort of almost like a third option, which is these two things muddling together. But I was able to come back and go, oh, I'm not keeping that because it sparks joy. If I'm really honest, it's because I paid a lot of money for it, so I'm
Yes.
attached to the money I spent, and you know, and kind of like, then there's a story about, oh, you know, I only bought that 6 months ago, and I spent this much money on it, and it doesn't spark joy. And I've seen so many things where I'm like, oh, my relationship to money, which I've been working on for a long time, I actually feel I'm making some progress with my
Yes.
relationship to money
Yes.
because I'm having thoughts like that. Well, I paid this much money for that thing. And I'm like, but Mimi, it doesn't spark joy.
Yeah.
You don't like it, let alone it sparking joy. It's okay. But if someone gave it to you now, you wouldn't go, oh, yummy, yummy, yummy. I can't believe it. Thank you. You would just kind of go, yeah, it's okay. And I know I'm rambling around all over the place, and thank God you're here because you'll make sense of it for Tracy. But what I've seen is it's become this process I can see is that is a metaphor or a physical
Yes.
experience
Yes.
of how I've set my life up, which is it's good enough. It's like it's fine. It's nice. But actually, I don't want a life that is good enough and fine and nice. I want a life that sparks joy. I want a life that is an absolute yummy fit. And I have sort of had the thought for anyone who's listening and kind of thinking, well, this is a very first world problem. It actually, I don't think it is. I don't think
No.
it's a first world problem because it isn't actually about the object.
That's right.
It's about your relationship to your
Attachment.
life. That's
Yes.
what it is. It's about your relationship to your life and about living intentionally
Yeah.
with what, just living intentionally, full stop. So I've started to see these pieces around me, and I'm still on the clothing stage. There's loads more to come, you know, jewelry and then books and then papers, you know, all of the papers we gather.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I knew intellectually that in many ways my life was sort of a replica of what I wanted to be living, but it wasn't actually what I wanted to li be living. It looked very closely similar, like a
Yeah.
really good copy, but actually not really. And what I've started to see in this process is, oh, holding this, I can have lots of positive thoughts about it,
But it's not sparking.
but it is, they're positive thoughts. They are not
That's right. Oh, so powerful.
energetic sparks of joy. It's fair. It's nice, and it's almost at a push. You'd go, okay, I'll take this. That's better than feeling really awful. But
Yeah.
actually, no. So now back to that honing process of honing your skill at being able to really sense what's happening and notice your thoughts and things. The pile of what's going has grown and grown. And then I was kind of like, okay, I got to the stage where I was like, okay, so I can sell these things because they have monetary value. I can sell these things. And then I've kind of moved on to set them free. They're like birds I've got in cages. And there's nothing wrong with selling things. It's absolutely fine. It's wonderful. I'm like, I think I might just set all of these things free. And that is part of my money story. So I can see all of these stories.
Yes.
I don't know what to say, like unraveling. And I can see them in front of me. And then the next day I have another deeper experience when I'm holding these things and I'm like, oh, no, that's a replica. That isn't the real thing. And I've noticed small changes. I'll stop in a second. You ask me questions, but I've noticed some changes. But is there anything you want to say about what I've just?
No, I listening to you the other day kind of share, I mean, you've been sharing this with me along the way.
Yeah.
It's really inspired me to start trying, having not listened to the book, I'm just going to get, Mia's Cliff Notes, which is at some point I'm going to get the book. I have not yet done that. But then just playing with it this weekend, knowing that we were going to do this podcast today. So I played with it yesterday and I did there. I have a cabinet that's built into the house. I forget what those are called. But anyways, I have an old house. It's over 100 years old. It's got one of those built-ins where you put stuff. And then I also have a really old, like a hutch. I don't know what it's called. It was my great grandmother's, and it's got drawers. And I've put stuff in them. And so I said to my husband, I'm going to do the front hall closet. I'm going to do those two things. So I've already done it wrong, right? Condo says do the clothes all at the same time. Well, anyways, I did the drawers all at the same time. And the drawers were filled with photographs, handheld photographs, right? Photographs from my childhood, from Brian's childhood, from when our kids were really little, when we still printed photos. And I was doing the like, what are all these photos for? Which isn't the right question, I know, but that's kind of where I started. So I started playing with like, I haven't thought of these photos. I haven't had a memory about these photos. So that kind of tells me, that's my sign that like, these aren't actually all that important, but like, who throws away photos? They're photos. And then I started throwing them away. And then I started to dig even deeper and I found a box. So my dad's been married multiple times, and one of my stepmothers, she had found a box of things from the house that I lived in for a bit. When my dad and she divorced, and then they sold the house and whatever. I mean, I wasn't there. I was at college. So, like, I never got any of my stuff. And she found this box of things that was my childhood, like reports and journals and like awards from when I was in second, third, fourth grade. And she'd sent it, and I found that box. And it was like, it was not hard for me to just take the whole box and go, oh my gosh, and throw it away. Because the thinking I had in that moment was, I don't value that. Like, it's cute that I wrote a poem. It's cute that I wrote a paper. It's cute that I got an award, but none of that is actually important to me. And then I found a bunch of awards, like medals. And I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot. Like, I have competed a bunch in my life, right? And I found all of like my competition medals and awards and whatever. I had them all buried in that thing. And one by one, I was like, oh, yeah. Oh gosh, I remember that. And just like letting all of it go, I can't explain. I didn't have an emotional attachment to any of it. And I was almost surprised at how apathetic I felt about it all. And in all of that, I found one photograph that made me laugh out loud. And so I kept it. It's a photo of Piper. And I was like, she's going to die when she sees this. It's so freaking, it's cute and it's funny. And I thought, that's good. And then I found a beautiful photo of my mother, where somebody just captured her essence. It was not in a frame, it was just like at the bottom of a drawer. But she's like, it captured her essence. And I was like, this one is a keeper. And then I have two more. I think I kept four photos, but there was like 1,000 photos that I went through. And if I had this emotional, not necessarily joy, but like it brought an emotion out, because I was having no emotion. I was like, who cares about this? And it's third grade, and this is my wedding, and this is my trip to Israel. And like, eh, none of it mattered. All my medals, none of it mattered. So I don't know. I'm having a much different experience. Again, I didn't listen to the book. I'm like kind of doing it because you're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all valuable and it's all interesting.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've done lots of clearing out in my life. We all have because we've
Sure.
lived long lives and we've acquired stuff, and we sort of have a cull or a sift through and a sort through. So I don't know if you would have a different experience if you listened to the book and followed
Right.
her process.
Right.
I'm following her process because this is her life's work. So I'm sort of like, okay, I'm going to follow this. And thus far, it has had a really positive, it is having a positive effect on me doing it the way she's saying to do it,
Nice.
which is everything in one room
Yeah.
and, kind of like do it. So, you know, I did some more of it yesterday. I don't even have that many clothes, to be honest. But I would say currently half of the things I own have gone into bags. And interestingly, I've kept the bag, you know, I'm piling the bags up, and then I will take the bags, you know, to the charity shop. And I have absolutely no desire to go back into the bag and look at any of it because I've let it go. I've gone through the process of holding it, think and noticing what's happening for me, kind of processing that, feeling that, you know, processing it sort of emotionally as well as noticing my thoughts, and then letting it go. And it's really lovely. And she also has a folding technique. So there's a lot of gratitude because when you let something go, you her process is to say thank you to it, which is really lovely. So my mum, I was at my mum's house and she gave me a little small piece of fabric that I had embroidered a message onto for my father in 1986. So I was 21 and I sort of was thinking, you know, and it said, you know, to my darling dad or whatever, you know, Happy Father's Day, 1986, you know, with all my love and eternal thanks, your daughter, Mia. And I had embroidered, and it was absolutely beautiful. I mean, the lettering looked like being done with a pen. I mean, it was so fine and beautiful. And I had this sort of thinking was happening, like, I can't throw this away. You know, it was something I made for my father. And I sat and sort of held this thing and looked at it. And I gave thanks to and marveled at this 21-year-old version of myself, you know, which feels quite grown up, 21, to be embroidering something. You know, maybe when you're 13, but I was 21. That's right, isn't it? I was born in 65, 85, 20 years. Yeah, 86, 21. And
You
I
did
was
it.
like,
You didn't even use your fingers. Well done.
yeah. And I was like, wow, thank you so much for being a person who embroidered this beautiful thing for Dad. Like, wow. And I thanked it, and I thanked who I was, and I admired how beautiful it was. And then I threw it away. I discarded it. And so her process, I find, you know, is actually quite beautiful because it's really thanking. There was a t-shirt that is really wiggly and soft. It doesn't fit me. And it's really wiggly and soft, and it had tiny flecks of gold in it. It's absolutely beautiful. And I sat and sort of held it to my face and just felt how soft it was. And I looked at it and was like, you're so beautiful. And it did spark joy, but it doesn't fit me. So I was like, I'm going to let you go, and somebody will find you
Somebody's
and
gonna
somebody
love
will
it.
absolutely love you. And so I folded it neatly and I put it in the bag. So everything is clean, everything is washed, everything is folded neatly. Everything is, so it's all this kind of like feeling of respect and gratitude and giving thanks. And that is helpful in this process when I'm letting go of things.
You're treating it really beautifully.
Yeah, it's just a really lovely process. And so, and things that I've noticed is I have been, I'm often late for things. And I've been on time for things.
What do you attribute that to?
Well, I mean, in the book, she's saying that actually, I love the expression. She says, you are getting your house in order, which obviously has sort of a, you know, it's sort of a metaphor, isn't it? We say that and we mean, you know, I'm getting my life in order. And actually, it really feels like that, that I'm getting my life in order, not just my physical house, but I'm using, you know, that kind of idea of doing somatic work, doing work that's, you know, embodied work. This feels like an embodied experience of release.
I feel like energetically, I don't know. I feel trapped. My experience of having things, too many things, has me feeling trapped. And so energetically for me, when there's stuff, it's heavy. Because it's something I need to manage. I have to like organize it or store it or remember it or like not forget about it or whatever. And
Deal with it, yeah.
I got to deal with it maybe multiple times. And when we did that trek in Nepal, you know, you get a backpack and you carry your own stuff. So if you want to be able to move quickly without a lot of physical effort, you pack just the bare necessities. And that is a place that somehow has me feeling the most free. And so that's the feeling I always want. So I have a different experience of things. I find that energetically they weigh me down and they cause me, they like mentally, I'm always having to like be vigilant of it. So I love that she has a more beautiful wording, I'm sure, for that experience. But if you've got less stuff, now you're on time. Like if we just bottom line it, it's because you now can just like go from A to B rather than A to B to C to E to F to G.
Yeah, 100%. One of the things she says in the book is, and she said, this is not like a scientific, I can't evidence this,
Yes.
but loads, so there's anecdotal evidence. She said, loads, like, she's done this with thousands upon thousands of people, and thousands of people have read the book and then given her
Oh,
feedback
yeah.
that, when people have gotten rid of their clothes that they don't want or that don't fit them, she said, anything that doesn't fit you it is not
Yeah.
clothing. It doesn't deserve to be in your wardrobe. It doesn't fit you. I allowed myself a small portion of clothing that don't fit me, that I really love, that spark joy,
Yeah.
that I will lose the weight to get into. And she was sort of saying, if you're on an active program of losing weight or whatever, then by all means keep some things. But if it's just a wish and a prayer that someday maybe, and I had a dress, there was a dress that I was like, well, that's definitely, I'm keeping that. There's no way that dress is going. I wore that dress 15 years ago. There's no way that 14 years ago, no way that dress is going anywhere. And then what I realized when I came back, because this was one of the, this is, I'm keeping this. When
Yes.
I, a couple of days later, came back to that dress, because I was like, I'm just going to look at that dress again. And I was like, you are completely beautiful, but not for me, not now. I can let you go. So there's that sifting, sorting process. Where was I going? I was telling you something. Oh, she said, so people often report that they've lost weight. She said, people who, she says about when you're going through your books and your papers, she said, people often find they experience more mental clarity
Yes.
because they have removed things that were tethering them, that were tying them down. And that is definitely part of the process I'm having. So I attribute somehow this spaciousness of being on time more of the time now. I mean, it's been a week, but that there's a sense of more spaciousness. I feel less rushed somehow. I also feel more intentional, and because I've been practicing with joy, as coaches, we're kind of like, tell me about the life you really want. And people are like, you and I are the same. When our coach asks us, we kind of go, well, it's a bit like, never, and it's actually really hard because we're kind of, and what I often notice other people do, and I do it, is I describe the life I've already got with a few bells and whistles on it. It's kind of like a slightly shiny version of what
Of
I've got
this
now,
life,
shinier version. And what I've noticed by sort of honing in on what really sparks joy, and there was another dress which I bought relatively recently in the last 6 months. It was, it was a reasonably expensive item. And I was like, I should like it. I should like that thing because I bought it recently and I should like it. And it was quite expensive. And so I'm going to make my, this is all going on in my head. I'm going to make myself like it. And I was like,
What are you doing?
Oh my God, that doesn't spark joy, does it? I'm kind of talking to myself and I'm kind of like, no, it doesn't. Like, damn, that dress is gonna have to go. That's gonna have to go. I am exactly as she said, my ability to truly identify joy and
Yes,
pleasure
yes.
I'm getting more facility with it. And actually what's happened is that's showing up in conversations where I'm noticing, oh, this is what I really think.
Yes.
This is what I really want to say. And then I'm saying it. As opposed to saying a slightly sort of, well, this will do. This is sort of what I want to say. This is sort of a version of what I think. I'll allow myself to think this and I'll allow myself to say that. So there's this freedom that I've noticed, spaciousness and more connected to what is true for me. I mean, I'm blowing raspberries now because I'm like, how does that come from sorting through my jumpers and bobble hats? But there we
That's
go.
not what that is. I mean, that's the
No,
whole
that's not what
point.
that is. That is the whole
Because
point.
I did that yesterday. I spent an entire, 2 to 3 hours doing exactly that, and it was transactional. Not 100%. I'm not saying it's all or nothing, right? It wasn't as deep and profound as yours. I haven't listened to it. I'm not doing it the way she said. I kind of was like, dip a toe in the water, kind of try it, see what I think, so that I can speak about it today from at least some sense with some context. But frick, I lost my train of thought.
Well, I think you were comparing the two processes and sort of
Yes.
saying one feels deeper and one feels more transactional or
Yep. And I think at the end, energetically, there's a shift. Like that's what I'm hearing for you. And I think like if we break the human into, the categories of mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical, as we start to like declutter, or I like the word unencumber. I don't know why, but it feels a little bit more accurate to me to like unencumber ourselves mentally and emotionally and spiritually and especially physically. That one for me is, I think it's part of like my claustrophobia, is like I'm always having this physical experience of being trapped. And so for me, this is like a whole like physical thing, which is I think why I don't have stuff, because for some reason then I feel, and I don't live in cities, I live out in the wilderness and I don't like places with lots of people I want, whatever. But as we start to do it anywhere, if we start with the physical, it'll translate. Maybe. I mean, I don't really know. It sounds like it's translating for you, where you're having a much richer and deeper experience in other places in your life. But it started with a physical letting go, which wasn't physical. I mean, it
No, it
was.
wasn't.
You
Yeah,
were
the
aiming it.
action is holding the thing and
Yes.
saying, what is this sparking in me? Is it sparking joy? And so the barometer has been, is it sparking joy? If not, what's happening? And it's sort of like, oh, I can feel myself being attached to the past, or oh, I'm becoming aware of anxiety
I
about the
need it.
future. So it's sort of almost like a water divine or whatever, where you're sort of holding the thing. And so I know these patterns because we've done lots of work and we've done lots of journaling, blah, 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 blah. We've done all the things. So I know that these patterns are there for me, but I just really, I mean, I was really surprised at how attached I was to the past. And yeah, I was just found it really surprising how much came up for me. And there's grief coming up and sadness, as I'm going through the process. But it's a wonderful process. And she said, start with clothes because they're easy. So I'm like, whoa,
Oh
clothes are
man.
easy. These are the easy ones. And I'm on the floor with, holding a bobble hat and sniffling, as if I were next to a casket. I mean, I'm like really having a tough time. Then, moving on to books, and I've realized the books on the shelf, have stories about what they mean about me. And this, I'm like, oh my goodness, all of this illusion and, pretense. And I did say to you, I know we need to wrap this up, but I did say to you that actually, on so Sunday week or whatever it was, Monday week, so a week ago today, fear was coming up, this anxiety about the future. If I let go of all this stuff, which is, the accumulation of my life expressed through clothing, what if there is nothing left? Not just in terms of the pile of clothing, but in terms of me. So it's very much a sort of a psychological
So
journey.
we cling, cloy to the past, and then we are paralyzed by fear of the future.
Yeah.
Both of those experiences are, I would imagine, not great. I mean, they're not great for me. I don't like
No.
either of those
I was going to say, have
experiences,
you never had them? Yeah, but they're
but
not great for you.
they're
Yeah.
like, it's the same coin. Yeah, like the
Yeah.
super duper, if I am really attached to the past, I'm going to be like super fearful about the future, I imagine.
Yes.
If you have a generation in America, there was the Great Depression. I know it's same in England, and my mother-in-law grew up in Oklahoma. The Grapes of Wrath is a very famous book. It's about the Dust Bowl. There was nothing. These people were living on dirt floors, and they were starving, and it was awful. And as a product of that experience, she never threw anything out. And watching her as an outsider, I'm younger than her, and I'm watching her, witnessing her, she was very fearful of what she might need in the future. And she was absolutely attached to the physical things that were part of her past. And it almost was like, if you're this attached, you're going to be this fearful. If you're not really attached, you won't be really, like, I think they go together.
Yeah, I definitely have that experience of them being sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
100%. I'm having that experience.
Yeah.
And you sort of in if you follow the Kondo method, you then move through, from books to papers, and papers that includes photographs and cards and letters. And she says something lovely about cards and letters, which is, the kind of the point of them was that person thinking about you and giving you their thinking. They were like saying, look, I'm thinking about you. And once you've been in receipt of that,
Yes.
you can let the object go.
Yes.
And it's actually making me think quite differently about gift giving and do I even need to? And just, yeah,
Yes.
it's, I mean, it's such a great experience, Ali. It's definitely for somebody who's very heady. It is fantastic for me because it's a physical process that I'm going through with physical objects, which is allowing me to tap into an emotional sort of like an embodied experience as opposed to an intellectual understanding.
Yeah.
It's really it's making a difference.
Yes, it is. I can tell, I can see and sense a difference in you as an outside observer. You are I'm experiencing you as much lighter. And I am seeing you be more clear and more focused. Those are some things that I'm present to with you lately, just in the last week, for what that's worth. So,
Yeah, no, that's worth a lot. That's great. Thank you, because that is how I'm experiencing myself. Just more
and
spaciousness and much more idea of intention of what I want. Go.
well, I was going to say the essence that I'm really present to with you is not just courage, obviously, because there's a lot of courage that's required to go through this process, but action. The essence of action, you're in it. And it's something that, like, Frozen Fabulosity is one of your survive, like, she's not here right now. Like, she's like, whatever, I'll take a
I
back
love
seat.
that.
Yeah, it's really good.
Thank you for that. And I really liked what she said, which ties into what you've just said about action, that my anxiety about the future, sort of like, what if I can't get that thing back,
You
or I
always have
never have
toilet
them,
paper.
never have the money, yes, to get the thing back, or what if
Yes.
there's no toilet paper? What will I do? And she sort of said, like, once you've looked and you've realized there's no toilet paper, you will take action to make sure that you have what you need in that moment.
Yes.
So I'm sort of like, oh, it's so lovely because you just
Yes.
think it, there's something really exciting and resourceful and sort of, but it's almost like an adventure. It's sort of like, oh, okay, great. So I'll just think in the moment and fix, arrange, sort in the moment. I'll take action in the moment to fill the gap. And so, oh, it's, yeah, I'm having a whale of a time. Literally lots of wailing and also having a whale of a time. It's fabulous.
WAILWH. Yes. So it reminds me of the quote that I have just been obsessed with lately, that a bird sits on the skinny part of the branch, not because it trusts the branch, but because it trusts its wings. And what I'm hearing from you is you're going to start to trust your wings. You're building your wings and you're building your trust in them. So if you end up somewhere and you don't have TP, you're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's
Yes.
all going to be fine.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
so good.
It's really good, Ellie. It's so good for heady peeps. I'm like,
Yeah.
start touching stuff and seeing if it sparks joy. Do you know what I mean? Because it
Your
for people,
takeaway?
yeah, it is my
Start
takeaway
touching
for
things.
Yeah, for people who live in their heads and are very kind of like intellectual and like tell me the thing and like, oh, I really understand it, you know, which I can do loads of and I'm like, oh, I love it up here. You know, it's fabulous. My body is literally just to carry my mind
Yes.
around, you know, my brain around
Sitting
because
under your
having so
neck,
much fun in
yes.
my head. And it's wonderful to be physically touching things. And yeah, so that's my takeaway. Heady girls, touch stuff. Feel the spark of joy.
Love it. It's
What's your
beautiful.
takeaway?
Mine is, it is, I'm witnessing that through action is how you're building trust. Like
I
the
like
action is
that.
actually generating an experience of you trusting you, which is really powerful as an outside observer and somebody who doesn't, who really struggles to trust herself. Like I'm watching this and being like, oh shit. Yeah, I want that.
And that's really interesting for me because you are miss action.
I am.
Like if I, you, yeah, you're
And I
so action.
trust
So what's the
myself.
difference then?
Well, I trust myself in certain places that you and I are different. Like I don't know that I'm at the level where you're saying the things to people right now. I'm not there yet. I don't trust myself to be able to handle those conversations, but I trust myself to go to foreign countries, have no idea if I brought the stuff I need.
Toilet paper.
I don't definitely did not have toilet paper.
You don't need to because I've always got
That's right. As long as I travel with you.
Mia, have you got the toilet paper? Yep, all good.
The physical things I have very little that I need and require, but there are other things where I do not trust myself. So for me, it's the it's like the people pleasing part of me that I don't tend to trust myself to be able to handle it. And so then I shut my mouth, I don't say the thing, or I'm vague. Right. So yeah, it's through action. So it's gonna be action for me, I imagine. I don't know what that's like. So we'll see. I don't know what action I need, I mean. In order to get to the place that I want to go,
I love you, Al.
love you too. All right, lady. Well, shall we sign off? Sign off for
Yeah.
the day? Let's see. How do I do
Bye,
that? Okay,
Tracy.
yes. Thank you for listening,
See you
Tracy.
later.
Okay,
It's a
bye.
long one today. Bye.